This is Kiss of Last Resort, written and read by Penny Plain Knits. Rodney is going to propose to Keller. John can tell. He's seen the signs before with Katie. He's going to propose, and John thinks it might just break him. Just a little bit. He tries to tell himself that if he truly thought Rodney would be happy, that he wouldn't be so upset. That he's a big enough person, despite his hopeless infatuation, to wish the man he's half in love with well. It's just, she's not right. Not for him. She wants the kinder, gentler McKay, but that's McKay without edges, without spark. It's not Rodney. And Rodney, he tries, holds his sarcastic tongue, suppresses his rolled eyes, retreats to babble or monosyllables rather than unleash a full-on Rodney rant, even, and most painful of all, curbs his intellect. For all that she's supposedly some freaky Doogie Howser clone, she just can't keep up. John remembers the sharp stab of triumph the day she'd totally failed to grasp prime not prime past about 181. Still, Rodney keeps trying, drawing further and further in, this whole wonderful expanding galaxy of a man cut down into a shoddy copy, as much like the real him as a child's drawing. But somewhere along the line Rodney got to believing people don't want the real him, and so John knows one day soon he'll turn up with a ring, and she'll say yes, and his stellar friend will be gone for good. It happens sooner than he thought. Rodney's a week back from Earth when he knocks on John's door, the look on his face a mixture of scared and determined. "Hey, buddy," John says easily. "What's up?" Rodney looks around the room, picks up a candle and puts it down, crosses over to the window and stares out at the ocean, then wanders back to the chair John's sitting in. I bought a ring." "A ring?" John says, feeling his stomach plummet. "Yes, I'm going to, ask Jennifer to be my, wife." He folds his arms and tilts his chin in the old familiar way, and it just reminds John of one more thing Rodney suppresses around her. "Oh," is all he can manage. "This is where you congratulate me, John." I can't," John says suddenly, unable to lie. "What? Why? Are you that pathetically out of touch with normal feelings you can't be happy for me? Are you jealous? Or is it just that unthinkable anyone would want me?" Rodney hunches his shoulders, collapsing in on himself even more. "And that's wrong," John thinks. "Rodney should never look that small." "No," John protests. "It's just..." "Look," Rodney says, determined. "I know I'm difficult, and I'm lucky that someone as sweet and kind as Jennifer wants anything to do with me, so I'm trying, really trying, to be a better person. And," he adds, despair shading his voice, "I don't want to die alone." John snaps, takes Rodney's face in both hands and just kisses him, puts everything he wants to say into the kiss, into the press of his lips and the slide of his tongue, says, "You're not alone," and "She makes you small," and "I loved you before, just as you are," and "5 damn years," and "It wasn't her you called for." Kisses him with longing, and passion, and despair, and desperation, because Rodney is his, has always been his, a whole starfield to discover. Except that Rodney's lips are slack, and his hands hang by his side, and he's not kissing back. As John pulls away, he sees unreadable emotions flitting across Rodney's face. Then Rodney gets to his feet, stalks to the door, and goes through it without saying a word. John collapses back into his chair and knows he's lost. Binary Star. Rodney's going to propose to Keller. No. That's not right. He's going to propose to Jennifer. Must remember that. Jennifer. He has the ring, shiny gold and sapphire, and he knows she likes him, chose him over Ronan, and really, that must mean something, right? That she could have had Ronan, tall and brave and handsome, but chose him. She must see something. Something worth loving, if he can change. So Rodney tries, he does. Tries to the man she wants, to be kinder and gentler, not shout so much, not say things she doesn't understand, be nice, the way she sees him. And if, by the end of the day, the stress is giving him a headache, and the tension makes his shoulders hard as rocks, well, that's the price you pay, it seems. For someone nice. To not be alone. So, he's going to propose, and she'll say yes, and it'll be... nice. Except it seems John, always John, not Shepherd, not now, has other ideas. Hurrying from John's room, from a kiss that told him more about John in 10 seconds than he's learnt in 5 years, his thoughts race, trying to put it all together. Because that kiss was an undiscovered galaxy, an extrasolar planet, something huge and unexpected that, when discovered, makes perfect sense. He paces round and round, fitting everything together, running the math, making the comparisons. When his feelings slide into focus, it's like reading the COBE results all over again, the way everything is suddenly, startlingly clear. That, when he's with John, that is what it's supposed to feel like. Love's not supposed to be difficult. It's not a small, calm life and 100 different ways to disappoint her. It's racing cars and spaceships and exploration and everything that ever made him smile as a child. And John by his side, the two of them a binary system, inextricably linked. And then he's rushing out of the door and into the transporter, and he's at John's door, and overriding the lock and stumbling through. The room is dark, and he can hear some of John's country music, and John's just how he left him, hours ago, slumped into the chair, head in his hands. "Come to yell at me?" John asks, not looking up. "I should do." He sees John's neck tense, knows he's clenching his jaw, and thinks it should have been a hint that he can read his expressions from the back of his head. "I want you to know," John says, low and raspy. "I'll stand up with you. I mean, I'd like to be there when..." "I knew you were self-sacrificing, but I didn't know you were a moron," Rodney snaps, and it's liberating, being able to speak his mind after months of biting his tongue. John just sighs, broken. And it's not right, not how they are. So Rodney crouches in front of him with his hands on the arm of the chair and says, "I didn't ask her," and touches his lips to John's. "It's sorry, and you should have told me, and I'm me when I'm with you, and let me try, and I remembered you longest," all wrapped up in lips and tongue and John's clutching hands. When they break apart, John is glassy-eyed and reaches back for Rodney immediately, and Rodney can't understand how he missed this. "Keller?" John asks. "Well, it would never have worked. Not like this," Rodney says, leaning forward to rearrange their universe with the press of his mouth. "And it is much, much more than nice."